Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed, the authentic source of Nigerian information, positive Nigerian energy all the way. Of course, we're still having this great conversation, and as promised, I mentioned that we will be talking to Honorable Olasani. He's an award-winning realtor in Chicago. Good day to you, sir.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Good evening. How are you?
Oh, finally. Yes, I'm very well, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Can't complain. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, thank you for doing this with us. You're welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, of course, we're talking about the United States election, and we're looking at it from J or B. Who exactly is better for diaspora Nigerians? Who is best for diaspora Nigerians? And that's what we've been talking about on the Spirit of Nigeria Radio. And of course, I have here Chris with me. And, you know, the first question I'll ask you is, what is it like exactly this very day in the United States?
Right now, where I am, first of all, let me say thank you so much for having me, and good evening to all our viewers all across the globe, in Nigeria, in every part of the world. It's a great pleasure for me to join you. In the United States, right now, the mood is very upbeat. There's a high turnout of voters, and people are very optimistic of having a very peaceful election.
Okay.
I was at the polling booth yesterday. There was a large turnout. It was a very long line despite the cold weather. Mm-hmm. And people, you know, behave accordingly, and everybody voted. And hopefully the election will proceed today as planned. And things should go well. I'm very optimistic. Everything will be okay.
Yes, honorable sir.
Yes.
Yes. You know, yesterday, when you said today was peaceful and you're looking forward to a peaceful election, I'm like, are you people in that country, in your country, in another planet, you know, away from what we're all hearing here, outside of America, with all this Trump's threats to election and all of that. The way you just spoke right now, your tone didn't really reflect
the
tension that we can feel outside of America. Are you not feeling the tension there? Is there no tension at all?
Where I am, and based on all the reports that I've received, the tensions are very in a very small pocket. But if you look across the board, everything is going to go well. Let me just point out very quickly that President Trump, if he lost the election, would not be the first person, the first sitting president to lose the election. Mm-hmm. So there's a built-in mechanism in American democratic dispensation where he allows for a sitting president to lose the election without any violence. Mm-hmm. And if I can take you back in history, mm-hmm. There have been 11 sitting presidents that have actually lost the election. If you go back as far back as 1797 to 1801, the first sitting president to lose the election was John Adams, who lost to Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
Then you have in 1825 to 1829, John Quincy Adams also lost to Andrew Jackson. Then if you follow that, in 1837 to 1841, you have Martin Van Buren, who also lost to William Henry Harrison. Yeah. Then you have in 1853 to 1857, you have Franklin Pierce, who lost to James Buchanan. Then in 1865 to 1869, you have Andrew Johnson, who lost to Ulysses Grant. Then in 1885 to 1889, Grover Cleveland lost to Benjamin Harris. I'll be through in 1 second.
Yeah,
so to give you some background.
Yeah.
Then 1889 to 1893, Benjamin Harrison lost to Grover Cleveland. And 1902 1939 to 1913, William Howard Taft lost to Woodrow Wilson. Recently, in 1974 to 1977, Gerald Ford lost to Jimmy Carter. Then in 1997 to 1981, Jimmy Carter lost to Ronald Reagan. Yeah. And in recently, 1988 to 1993, the first George Bush, George H. Bush, lost to Bill Clinton. So losing the election by an incumbent may be rare, but it has happened before and nothing has come out of it. I think if you really look at what President Bush was trying to do is to try and suppress the votes coming out of the Democratic wing. So those elements are just is a distraction from what is really going on. And if you stay focused on what's going on, you see that the election is going to be overall very peaceful. You might have some pockets of reactionary elements that's going to be upset by the loss, but overall, I think nothing's going to happen. The Democratic candidate, who happens to be Joseph Biden, has stated on record that if he lost, he's going to accept whatever the verdict is. So, I think we're going to have a very good election, and nothing negative is going to come out of it. I'm very sure of that.
Wow. Well, we pray so on your behalf too, as those living in America. And Nigerians over there? What's your response to the election as it is right now, and against the backdrop of what you just said?
I think our response is, if we look at the records of the current president and mainly his disposition towards the Nigerian community or towards the African community and African American community as a whole, and from my perspective, it has not been very positive. I think Donald Trump has appealed to a narrow base of supporters, and he cannot manufacture enough of those base to come out and vote. You know, even if all the majority of those voters come out to vote, those votes can be negated by the large base of Democratic voters. They come out in large mass. I think he's going to lose this election. So overall, I think this disposition towards the African community is very negative. I mean, if you pay close attention, the way he attacked the House of Rep member, who happens to be the only African-born person coming from Minnesota, that was very bad, and we look at that as a pointer to his inner instinct. So I think overall, the Nigerian community or the African community as a whole is going to vote against Donald Trump.
Well, let's do a little bit of forecast here. Besides the presidential election, 11 states will be conducting their own governorships, and I think 435 seats are up for grabs in the House of Representatives, 35 for Senate, out of 100.
Yes.
How many do you think will flip here, you know, to either side? What about Democrats? You know, I know that Democrats, they need about 4 more or 5 more to flip into leadership.
Right. I think from my own estimate, I think the Democrats are going to flip about 6 or 7 of them.
Wow.
Because if you look at it, there are some races, there are some senatorial races that are very, very close to call. And in some of the most traditional areas, that's been won by Republicans. I mean, if you look at the race in South Carolina, for example, where you have the former head of the Democratic Party, Harrison, Jimmy Harrison, is running for Senate. He's a South African American. And he's in a very close race, you know, over there. That was totally unexpected. And if he's able to emerge in that race, it's going to be a historical. And you also have in Georgia, where Ossoff is running for Senate, he's also ahead in that race. So if they're able to flip South Carolina, flip Georgia, and they're also able to flip, I believe there's another race in Arizona where the Democratic candidate is leading in that state. So that's a good pointer. If they're able to flip those races that are close, and I'm predicting that the Democrats are going to control the Senate. Right now, they're in control of the House of Rep. And I think if everything goes well, it's going to go well for the Democrats.
Do you think Mitch McConnell, Amy McGrath, where do you see it flipping? Do you see Mitch losing to McGrath?
I think Mitch is going to emerge in that race because, Kentucky is a very, very traditional Republican state. I don't see him losing that state. You know, they may lose some other states, but I don't predict Mitch McConnell losing that seat. I think he may lose his leadership in the Senate.
Definitely.
You know, it's not going to be the next Senate majority leader. Yeah. Yes, but I don't think he's going to lose that election.
Well, we have 9 Nigerians coming out in this election. Do you know any of them as a Nigerian? Do you know any of them personally? Let's start from that.
No, I don't know them personally. But
have you heard about them? Have you heard about them?
Yes, I've heard about them.
I mean, not just through this period, but over the years, over the time.
Not necessarily, no.
Okay.
From where I am, I'm in Illinois. We don't have any Nigerian seeking, you know, statewide office or any election as far as the House of Rep or Senate. But I wish them well. I mean, somebody has to be in the forefront. Someone has to be the person that leads the chain. And I believe as time goes on, we're going to have more Nigerians going to be coming out to run for office.
Yes, you permit me, because I'm going to go a bit deep with you here. You know, most of them are from a particular part of the country, you know, and you know the way we think here, the way our politicians like to think. Yeah, maybe I'm sure some of people say maybe America is marginalizing them in this election. But first, how did you, when this looked like the highest number of Nigerians that will come out for a particular election in America. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. So, I mean, how did you feel that? I mean, because when you look at them, you have Oye, Owolewa, Yomi Fafaparusi, Yinka Faleti, Paul Akinjo, Adewumi Kuforiji, Esther Agbaje, April Ademilui, Ngozi Akubuike, and Benjamin Osemenam. You know, and all of those people, they are, you know, you're looking at them from the east, from the west, likely, and all of that. What does that, how does that come across to you as a Nigerian? Not just, I mean, I'm not talking about a Nigerian who is liberated already from with the U.S. context and all of that, but as a Nigerian, you know, and, you know, how does that come out to you?
Well, I don't think we should be surprised by that.
Okay.
The reason I said that is,
yes,
if you look at the predominant people or Nigerians that are in the United States that are residing here, predominantly, they are from the southern part of Nigeria, mostly Yorubas and Igbos. You hardly find too many Northerners that, you know, that are here. I mean, I'm not saying there are none, but in terms of, if you look at the aggregate, the population of Nigerians that have come to the United States to settle, predominantly, majority of them have come from the South, you know, Southwest and Southeast. So if you look at that trend, so if the majority of them are here, majority of them are going to be the ones running for office, you know. So, plus you got to realize that the people that are willing to take the risk are the ones that are going to win. If you are not able to put your neck out and take charge of your future, then you're going to let other people decide for you. I think it is a good estimate to say that if you cannot go back, you might as well make the best of where you are. Yeah. So I think that's what's going on. Nigeria has not provided the opportunity for these Nigerians to be able to put forth the agenda, the ideas that they have for our country. So the next best thing is to be able to put those ideas and agendas and platform where they reside. And I think that's what you are seeing right now.
Okay, well, let me go a bit personal too. Looking at these guys, you know, who have come out, does that inspire you to want to, you know, at some point, you know, push you to want to run for something at some level, sometime?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've actually seeked political office in Nigeria before.
No, not in 2006. In America.
For me, I believe home is home. Okay. You know, I treasure my time here, and I appreciate the opportunity that I've been given here. But I think my quality, my ideas, or the plans that I have can better be utilized for the people that need it most. We don't have, we're not lacking a people of content here. And I think I have to bring those resources that I have to Nigeria to be able to help my people. That's just my own personal opinion. And for people that I want to seek political office in the United States, I more kudos to them. I would do whatever within my power to assist them. And I think they're doing the right thing. But personally, I think the resources that I have can better be utilized in Nigeria.
I think you have said the right thing now, because really, this is what I expected you to say, and you said it right on point. And for me, I'm already your voter when you come down to Nigeria.
My voter is not your
vote. The problem is people like you don't even vote. You know?
How did you know that?
Oh, I was going to defend you there.
No, but I vote. Yeah, and that's a good one. But really,
when everything scatter, all the elite will stay in their bedroom.
I've been voting with their mouth. No, but really, really, what do you?
The poor people's.
Finish your thought, please.
It's the poor man's children that have been put in the forefront to fight for our nation, and hopefully that should change, because they are bearing the most of the grunt, the economic grunt, the political grunt, and I think it is time that we return the power to it belongs to the average Nigerians. And you know, we've experimented with the democratic dispensation. We should be to eliminate those that are standing in the way. They are clogs to the system. Those elites that are not. If you look at the political structure of Nigeria right now,
yeah.
It's more or less like a recycling of the leadership. So, and think with the N-Star demonstration and protests, the youths have been reacting, and I think they finally realized the power they have, and if those power can be coalesced and be organized and be put to the positive channel, I think we're heading in the right direction. And I am praying and I'm hoping that they can stay focused and get something positive out of this protest. That's my wish.
So you believe that at the end of the day, answers may take us towards the El Dorado that we have in America today.
If you look at it, they've actually achieved some part of success, spite of the fact that they have to pay for their blood, mm-hmm. they have to pay with human life. Mm-hmm. But nothing in life is won by somebody just giving it to you. You have to. Mm-hmm. Look at, for example, in the United States, the freedom that I enjoy now for nine Nigerians to be able to run for political office, those freedom were paid for by sweat and blood of some other people.
All right.
You know, if you look at all the forefathers of the civil rights movement, those people, I mean, if you, not too long ago, a black person could not vote,
mm-hmm.
you know. Not too long ago, women could not vote.
Mm-hmm.
So the freedom that we have and the rights that we have now, somebody before us laid their life on the line to pay for it. So those N-Star protesters, they've laid their life. They are not only murderers, they are freedom fighters. Mm-hmm. And those people that come behind them should be able to realize that those things were not won for free, and we should be able to take advantage and be able to utilize it for positive engagement to achieve the end result that those people that lay their life, they put their life on the line for them. And right now, for all practical purposes, there will be no more SARS. Hopefully, whatever comes after SARS will be much better. And that's a progression. You know, it's not going to come overnight, but we are progressing towards the ultimate goal. So that's where we need to keep focus and keep our eyes on the ball. And once we do that, we'll be able to get to the to our destination. It may take long, but we'll get there.
Cool.
Well, of course, I like the last line that you said. It may take long, but we'll get there. Okay, so looking at your political ambition, I picked that when you said, looking at your political ambition, you said that you weren't contested in Nigeria. You didn't finish the particular statement. I want to hear more about it and what your intentions are to further pursue that career.
Okay, thank you so much. I believe very strongly that I have a God-given talent. And not only that, I have a trait that I can be able to contribute positively to the enterprise called Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's not a matter of which position or which office I am able to run for, but which position of which area that I can best put to use for my people that would elevate them from their current status. Because the current status they are now, I am not happy with it. And once I'm on ground and they feel that I am best suited to represent them in the Senate, that you know, that's fine. If I'm best suited to represent them in the House of Rep, that's also good with me. So it is not for me to say, okay, I want to do this, I want to do that. Once all the chips are down and we are able to identify those individuals that we know qualify for a certain position, it might not even necessarily be me, but whoever it is, we have to change the status quo. The status quo that we have now is not getting us to the destination that we want to go. So we have to change that. And I hopefully I want to be part of that discussion. You know, of that engagement to be able to identify those people that would better represent our interest, the people's interest. And then once we do that, I think we are moving in the right direction.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that. Okay. Well, at this point, I think that we've been able to get quite a couple of things. And, well, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your time and thank you for your contribution.
Thank you, sir.
No problem.
All right,
I appreciate you, and God bless you, and God bless the Republic of Nigeria.
Amen.
Amen. All right, sir. Please enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
All right, sir.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio.